All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks are doing local podcasts. Good morning. December the 5th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you are at. Looks like we got 20 more days till Christmas. That's exciting. Hopefully everybody has money, right? Hope you have some money to buy some things. And then if you do, hopefully we are able to get some stuff for our friends and family. Christmas gets weirder. I shouldn't say weirder. It becomes more challenging every year as my kids get older. And yeah. But it is what it is, and we're excited. We're grateful. Love this time of year. I did go out paddling yesterday. I thought I would share about that a little bit. I'm so grateful to be sober. Thank you. Thank you, God, for allowing me to have recovery in my life and have you, God, in my life. But second of all, thank you, and obviously my family and stuff. But, man, I'm so grateful for this paddling club because yesterday, paddling out in the ocean in the freezing cold was miserable, but at the same time, freaking amazing, right? Freaking amazing, and just so blessed. There is no chance in hell I would be out in that boat on that day doing what I was doing if it wasn't for being part of that club, and still a little of that people-pleasing, but this is what I signed up for. I absolutely love this stuff. I'm being a little dramatic. It was not that bad. In fact, it was beautiful. My hands were not cold. There was nothing cold. It's just tough paddle. The weather was fine, but there was a little wind, big current, decided to go out into the bay. And for those, I live at the beach but we live in the town. I actually live in the town of Lewis, and a small town on the coast, but Lewis is a little bit more on the bay. And Lewis sits on the mouth of the Delaware River Bay, and we sit across from New Jersey. And so when we paddle out of Lewis, we paddle down this canal, which sort of runs along the interior coast, and then out through a inlet, and then into a bay, which is connected to the ocean. Now, if I follow the bay farther north... No, excuse me, farther south, we come around the point, and then we actually enter into the ocean. And that's another town I live by, Rehoboth, which sits on the actual ocean. And it's really an interesting layout here geographically for the area, and especially if you're into doing things on the water, because you have bay, you have ocean, you have river, you have all sorts of shit. So just a great day. Got outside, went through, my coach is like, we're going to go out in the bay. We'll see the bay, and I say bay, but man, it can be, what happens is a lot of different types of water converge in the bay, and especially when the tides are coming in and out, and man, it can be a little sketchy. I posted a video on my Facebook. We were going out the other day, and we hit that tide. I don't know if it was a tide or a current, but we hit something, and that freaking turned the boat. That's how people fall in. That water just churns and just, it's crazy. So, but we got out fine, got out into the bay, and it was just kind of grindy, man. It was kind of cold. It was kind of a little breezy, not really sort of slack tide. So nothing really helping us. And we're just, at that point, it's just grinding through it. A lot like recovery, man. No glory, nothing awesome, just grinding. And but the cool part, man, we came across a bird. And it turns out it was a loon. I thought it was a cormorant, but it was a loon. And it was in distress. And we went by this bird, and we're all looking at it. We're paddling by it. And if you know a loon or a cormorant or a sea duck, right, they sort of sit on the water, and then they sort of dive, and then they just do work underwater, just grabbing fish. They can actually decimate a pond, man. These birds can eat up some fish, but they go underwater and they do their work and then they come out, right? And this guy was sort of stuck. He couldn't quite go under. His feet were kicking. His head was under. His head would pop up. He looked like he was having trouble. And we all looked at the bird, and as we went by, and then, of course, my coach, who was, he worked for whatever organization that saves seals and whales and marine life when he was out in Hawaii, that's how we ended up That's how he became part of the boating club out there, and then brought that club here to Delaware. And but man, I was like, I know Dave's got to see this bird, right? He's gonna. This is what Dave does. We save things, and obviously, the boat started turning, and we went back, and we. So we all thought that maybe he was hooked on a fishing line or some sort of line. It looked like he was sort of stuck in this one area, but as we got to him, he was definitely able to sort of swim around, but he was not doing well. We were able to grab him, brought him in the boat, took him on shore, and you know, I'm like, you know, the weather was fine. You know, everything is great as long as you can stay dry, right? My hands and my sleeves get a little bit wet, but as long as my legs and my feet and everything else stay dry, it's a great paddle. But we grabbed this freaking bird, and we head off to my Dave's like, we need to take it to the beach. And I'm like, oh God, because that means we got to get out of the water. And I wore sweats and these little rubber shoes. And I'm like, I'm going to have to step out in the water. And of course, if I do this, my feet are going to get wet, and it's going to change everything. But, you know, for the sake of the bird, we went to the beach, stepped out, got him out. Kind of determined there wasn't much we could do for him at the beach, called a wildlife rescue, decided we'd meet back at the pier where we were going to pull where we returned the boat and back into the water. And of course I stepped into the freaking ocean and soaked my foot.
Have you seen the way that tree bends? Does it inspire? Leaning out to catch the sun's rays. Listen to be your pride. Oh, we get something out of this old encompassing trip. You can spend your time. This life ends. Check your hands and study the lines. Have you believed that the root of here sends off some fucking wildlife?
Present tense, Pearl Jam live. Yeah, man, check the lines on your hands. You know, there is, so to finish this story, we got back, everything was fine, it was a great workout, we got the bird back to the beach, a lady came, picked him up, took him to Newark, Delaware for rest and rehab, and hopefully figure out what's wrong. It looks like he either swallowed something or, I don't know, I was talking to another friend of mine, she's like, you know, don't be surprised if you get a postcard in the mail that's saying, we're sorry to say that the bird passed, and that could happen, but we definitely tried, and it's funny because I'd like to say, hey, man, that's recovery, man. We just want to help, but that's normal living, right? It takes a lot of work to be normal, and, you know, I thought I would, finish sort of wrap up this 12th step chat that I've been having because, you know, that is one of the things about recovery. That is one of the things about being sober one day that happens is all of a sudden we become fantastic, right? We become awesome and You hear it a lot. People get sober, and then all of a sudden, everybody around them should be sober. In fact, everybody should be sober. Why haven't they all figured it out like me? And it's called 12-stepping, right? And people will get sober, and the next thing they want to do is save the world. And, you know, we fail at it. And unfortunately, it's usually enough to send a person like that back out drinking. And because we're just, and I think it happens to everybody, you know, whether it's alcoholism, whether, you know, I shared before my ex-father-in-law, he found out he had celiac, he determined that wheat was killing him, and then he determined that the rest of his family should be off of wheat as well. And he had a great pitch, man. He had all the facts. By the time he was done with me, I was like, curse wheat, right? And we went gluten-free for a while, but then I'm like, why am I gluten-free? I don't even have celiac. It was great to learn about celiac, and it was great to learn about gluten and what wheat does. But, you know, after that, it's up to me what I want to do. And but it happens. So anyway, we got the bird. Everybody's happy. We were good people. And but yeah, so to wrap up this 12-step, and you know, like that song says, you know, in the present tense, some of the amazing things that I started learning early on when I came in, and you know, I was blessed, right? I went to the hospital, went to an outpatient program, and then immediately got into meetings and Ron M., my first temporary, as he said, sponsor. And I get that today. I totally understand where Ron M. was coming from, because Ron M. had a bunch of time and he said, I'll be your temporary sponsor. And I was like, yes, okay. And but Ron M. was a huge, you know, part of the welcoming committee, right? Welcome, come in. You know, he taught me a lot, you know, watching Ron M. do what Ron M. did as a guy with recovery, working with others, and just associating and interacting with people in the program was a huge help, because I didn't know shit. And, you know, I've shared before, you know, watching a guy hug another man, right? What was that about, right? Just a lot of different little nuances that came with recovery, but it was awesome. And, but one of the, you know, I would start to learn these things, you know, stay in the moment, you know, one day at a time. I shared in the podcast the other day, that was freaking huge for me. I'm, you know, I don't want to say I'm always looking for the easy way out. I don't want to say that I'm always looking for, you know, the fast track. But I will say that when I heard that I could do this one day at a time, it sort of brought some comfort to me. Because I'm always, you know, like I look at, you know, like at school, I'm going into the 10th grade and I look at the whole 10th grade, right? Instead of taking the 10th grade one day at a time, I look at the whole grade and then I look at the grade after and then I'm all of a sudden living in the 12th grade. And I cannot seem to, or could not seem to stay in the moment. And like that song says, man, you know, it's the best place to be is in the present, and because I can handle it. Right. And, you know, as for where I'm at today, like I don't have a lot to handle today. Right. I'm going to work and I've got a few things, but it's all manageable. Right. And, but I hadn't really thought about it because yesterday I was managing yesterday. Yesterday was going to be a bit of an inconvenience. Yesterday's a great example of me taking something and turning it into something more than it was, should have been. And, you know, and that was that, you know, I got to, right? You know, I met with my guy, my father and the guy from the VA, and then I had to come home, and then we were going to go to the basketball game, and then I was going to try to go to a meeting, and it was just a real, you know, it was tight, and I was sort of getting a little edgy about it. And then at some point, I just told my wife, I said, you know what, I'm not going to go to the meeting. I can go to another meeting. This is our son's first basketball game. I can't miss that, right? And I do a lot of meetings, you know, so that if I have to skip a meeting, I can do that. And so, you know, it could have been really complicated, but in the end, it was fine, right? And onward and upward, and that is now in the past. And so now we are in today, which is Thursday, and you know, we have a few things we need to do. I'm working today, which is cool, but you know, it's just staying in the moment, right? Staying in the present. And there is just a lot of, that is just one of the many, many gifts that I've gotten through the program. And just so grateful for, you know, one day at a time, think, you know, all of the the little things, and I find myself repeating them because they still make a lot of sense to me today. And but to live in the present, man, is just is huge. And you know, I'll talk to people and I'll meet people that don't, right? And they're just so, especially in my business, I have the unique situation where I just meet and talk to a lot of different people in one day, and not for like 5 minutes, but for like anywhere from 30 to an hour and a half. I'm usually chatting with somebody. So, and I try to share, you know, I'm not 12 stepping, right? But, you know, if I can, you know, stay in the moment, right? Don't get too far out. You know, and I think that's, you know, if I was going to sort of evaluate people, I think that's what most of us do, is we don't stay in the moment, right? We live in the future and we live in the past. And it's just a tough place to be because you can't do anything about either one of them, right? You just can't change one, and you can't, you know, predict the other. You know, you just have to stay in the present. And I think that's where we are safe, and that's where our feet are. And, you know, the other thing is that's funny is that, and I've shared this before, I always think Eddie Vedder, who's the singer for Pearl Jam, he must be in recovery, right? Because he sings about these things. The problem, the reality is that people like me are out of the norm, right? Most of us, you know, maybe live like that, right? Most of us probably don't live in the present or in the future or in the past. Most of us are probably pretty normal. Maybe it's just a few of us that are fucked up. It seems for most I see it's getting harder. I tell you, man, this podcast, this, I don't know what it is, man, but this, the devils are after me this morning because I am having more trouble trying to do this podcast right now. I am really struggling, and the music keeps starting on its own, and it's just, and believe me, this may sound like an amazing high technology podcast, but it's me, a laptop, and an iPhone trying to whittle it all together. And I had to give away my cord yesterday to the group, the club, for our parade. So I had to order a new club, a new cord. I don't know if this cord is doing it, but I feel like scrapping this podcast. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to wrap it up. I'm going to read the daily reflection, and then I'm just going to wrap it up. I haven't gone 30 minutes, but it's either that or erase it. And you know, I don't want to erase it. The point is, man, the 12 step is awesome. Do the steps, work through them one day at a time with a sponsor, and get to the 12 steps, and then, you know, be amazed at all the wonderful things that come from it. That's really, I guess, the point of this podcast today. So, daily reflections. What is today? December the 5th. A new state of consciousness. Ooh. He has been granted a gift which amounts to a new state of consciousness and being. Yeah. More 12 steps right there. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 107. Many of us AAs puzzle over what is a spiritual awakening. I tended to look for a miracle, something dramatic and earth-shattering. But what usually happens is that a sense of well-being, a feeling of peace, transforms us into a new level of awareness. That's what happened to me. My insanity and inner turmoil disappeared. I entered into a new dimension of hope, love, and peace. And I think the degree to which I continue to experience this new dimension is in direct proportion to the sincerity, depth, and devotion with which I practice the 12 steps of AA. Yeah. Yeah. How much time is left here? Let me just see. I'm just going to talk until this freaking phone starts playing the music automatically, until the devil attacks, and then I'm just going to let it roll out. But, you know, that's it. You know, it's, you know, I've shared before, it's in the book, I've read it, you know. All we have to do is be really, really, really honest, right? Half measures avail us nothing, right? And unfortunately, you know, and like I said the other day, you know, all this program wants us to do is be really good people publicly and privately. It's the private side. And I'm not even talking private. I'm talking like in between our ears private. You know, that's the stuff that eventually keeps us sick. And maybe we can stay sober with it, but, you know, it's a thoroughly, you know, we have to go through this stuff and really work it out, air it out. And, but I tell you what, man, when you do it, right? When, you know, and like I shared the other day, just not drinking and driving brought me, it just opened the door to the spiritual awakening, right? I believe we are spiritual beings, right? It's just the self-centered, the selfish demons are what keeps us from getting to enjoy that. But, you know, through the steps, we can start to identify them and work them out, right? But man, when we start to get it, it is amazing. And like it says, it's nothing, right? There's no burning bush, right? There's no, you know, bolts of lightning. It's just peace, love, free of fear. I think, I don't know what they said there, peace, love, and something. But to me, it's just peace, love, and free of fear. And when I started to understand how much my life was in fear, I was blown away. You know, just, and, you know, I've talked, I don't know if I've talked about it, I talked about it with somebody, but I'm like, how many times have I said the word I love you or the words I love you because I was afraid? And those seem like the words of humility, right? I love you, right? But it's usually because I want you to know I love you because I'm afraid to lose you, right? And so just all of a sudden realizing how much fear, right, self-centered fear runs in my life, I was blown away. And then I'm looking behind every freaking rock in every corner. I'm like, what is going on? And now I start to understand. And what causes the self-centered fear is shortcomings and character defects, right? Those are the demons. And all of a sudden when you start to understand and you realize what is really going on, you're like, oh, my God. And then you can sort of, I don't know, sort of shape the menu a little bit. You know, like I shared the other day, Saturday is going to be really inconvenient for me, right? I know the demons are coming. I know that I'm going to be annoyed and I'm going to be short and I'm going to be bothered and I'm prepared, right? Because I don't want to, I've had a whole day get ruined because of that kind of stuff. And so it's just, you know, and then we start protecting it, and I talk about it. I try to make better plans. I'm going to, you know, I was thinking maybe I'll cook the chili on Saturday. No, I'm going to cook the chili on Friday. That way I have it and it's ready and I'm not jumping through my ass trying to make this chili, right? So I start to be a better person to cater to me not having to live in fear and other shit, right? We start becoming better to maintain that hand of God. Because when I'm inconvenienced, right, arrogance shows up and I'm not holding the hand of anything. I'm just being a jackass. And, you know, and so we learn and then we try to protect it, right? We have that spiritual awakening and then we try to protect it, right? You cannot have two spirits in you at one time. And so we try to protect the one that we want in us, which is, you know, God, our higher power. And we don't want any other demons coming in, right? And, you know, it sounds silly and all that, but it's, you know, it's reality. At least for me. It is for me. All right. This freaking podcast, I don't know. Maybe I wasn't supposed to do it, but I hope everyone has a great day. I'm going to go work later.
Have you believed that the road of here ascends on some fucking wild?